Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Trail Culture. I'm your host, Em Robertson, and I'm so stoked that you're tuning in. Season 3 of Trail Culture is made possible thanks to our faithful friends at Carbon Endurance. They're a performance consulting house that covers all your needs from nutrition and hydration to sweat testing and micronutrition. They've got a great range of products and their consults have helped many an endurance athlete. You can find their information in the show notes and be sure to reach out for them if you're looking to make tweaks to your performance before your next race or training block. Enjoy the episode and I will see you back here soon for our next one. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trail Culture. We're still in season 3 and this week I'm stoked to welcome an athlete who's come from very far away to race in Cape Town. He seems to have recovered though. He's climbing up and down the stairs without too much issue. And he took on Cape Town's UTCT 55K this past weekend and managed to claim the third step after insane race conditions. Charlie is an elite trail runner for Team Terex from Canberra in Australia. He's got amazing results to his name and seems to be putting quite a big focus on the 50K distance recently, which we'll be talking more about. He is also studying to be a physio and is the newest member to Team Terex, if I'm not mistaken. So he's got a lot going on. Stoked to welcome you to the podcast today. How's it going, Charlie?
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm so stoked to be here. I've had a week after the race to like relax and actually do things here in Cape Town.
Awesome.
So it's been really nice and thanks for having me on. I'm really excited.
Awesome. What have you guys been up to? I saw some brief content of Boulders Beach. You guys hanging out with the penguins. You mentioned Southeaster. I'm like, you're like a true Capetonian.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was here for 3 weeks before the race and that was kind of a little bit like, you know, robot training mode where it's just like run in the morning and then just hang out. And so I've taken the opportunity to like do a couple other things. I'm going to go for a scramble up on Table Mountain in the next couple of days. Been to Southeaster like every day since I've raced because the kimchi croissant is awesome. I'm going to miss that when I go home. Just trying to do some like touristy things that I haven't done since I got here. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm so glad that you guys can enjoy Cape Town and the weather seems to be, it wasn't ideal for race day, but now at least you can enjoy what Cape Town typically is in the summer.
Yeah, where's all the wind gone? It's beautiful now.
it blew all of it out on Friday just for you guys. It's so cool for me to chat to an athlete from Australia. Every time I think of it, I think Lucy Bartholomew. So I'm sure there's many more of you there, but cool to see that you're racing on the international scene and it looks like enjoying it. I actually saw you on race day on the Newlands Contour. I was standing there with two friends and you seemed to be happy and you had some banter for us. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, no, I was struggling a fair bit there. So you must have caught me at a good moment.
But what did growing up in Australia look like for you, kind of finding sport and just what's it like, I guess? I'm curious.
Yeah, so I grew up in like a semi-small town of like maybe 70,000 people in the country and it's like a massive sporting town. If you're like in the country like New South Wales, country Victoria area where I'm from, basically it's like you do sports or you kind of, there's not that much else to do. Like for example, from the town we're from, we've got like countless Olympians and Australian football players. There's like heaps of them, you know, from my school and from my area. So sport was like always a big part of where we grew up and especially in my family. I grew up with like mum and dad every morning going out and dad would ride 100K every Saturday.
Wow, okay.
Mum would be swimming, mum would be running. And so it's just...
sporty family.
Yeah, it's just a normal thing to do to like, you wake up in the morning, you do your exercise and then you go about your day. That's just kind of what life was like. Yeah.
Nice. And I think I saw somewhere you have a sister. She also an athlete?
Yeah, my sister Zara is a football player.
Okay.
Australian football.
Insane.
So for anyone that doesn't know what that is, look it up. It's completely different. It's not AFL. Sorry, it's not soccer. It's not rugby. We've all got our own little
Okay. football. Okay, interesting. There's a new sport emerging for us. That's so cool that you had kind of a active family. And was running always the thing that you did? Or were you like, I'm going to swim a bit with my mum, ride my bike with my dad? It sounds like maybe a triathlete.
Yeah, no. Definitely not triathlon. I grew up cycling, actually.
Okay.
So like, obviously as a kid, I played a lot of sports. And then when I was 12, I think I kind of like put it all into cycling. And that's what I did through high school. I rode, that was like my life. Like I was training like 20 odd hours a week at like 16.
Wow.
And like loving it. I got to like travel around the country and race. And then, yeah, I didn't start running until a few years ago. So
wow.
I kind of gave up cycling at the end of high school.
Okay.
Did some other things for a few years, played some music, partied a lot, and then I only just kind of found running in the last few years.
Cool. Nice yeah. to have a hobby outside of running. Do you still play at all? Not like professionally, but
yeah,
just for
no,
fun?
I still play a little music at home. I mean, I have a lot of free time.
Okay.
Being like a runner and a uni student, which are two things that, you know, I leave a lot of free time. So I still play a little bit of music, but yeah, that was like a really sweet period of my life where we were like traveling every weekend, playing gigs. In the band that was like my best mates, so
that's
had the
awesome.
Most fun there. Yeah,
nice. Is the band still together?
No, unfortunately not. Yeah, didn't quite work with the running lifestyle. Like,
okay.
You know, playing a show at like 11 p.m. on like a Friday night,
yeah,
and then you have to drive 4 hours to the next town to play another gig on Saturday, and then being like, all right, when do I fit in my 3 hour long run?
Yeah, with minimal sleep and
yeah,
probably subpar nutrition on
yeah,
the road. Yeah,
didn't quite work out. But yeah, it's definitely a shame I don't get to play much music anymore, but I still love it and I'm still
That's
so
awesome.
Glad I got to do it. It was such an awesome part of my life.
I feel like I need to go find some of the songs and plug the band here just in
yeah,
the show
no,
notes.
You don't. They're probably pretty shocking. Going back and listening to them is a bit stiff.
And I mean, growing up sounds like active lifestyle. You mentioned now you kind of found running recently. What does that look like for you? I feel like some athletes, it's like they work towards something. They're like, I'm going to be at this level, compete on an international stage, run this race. And others that I chat to, they kind of stumble into it and they're like, oh, I'm now like a professional trail runner and I don't know how it happened. Where do you find yourself on that kind of spectrum?
I think I may be somewhere in the middle. Growing up cycling, I was in a lot of like state institutes where a lot of the people I race with are now professional cyclists. So we learnt like really good habits early on, like good training principles, good nutrition principles. And so when I decided to start getting fit again, because that's basically like in my years off exercise, I got like pretty unhealthy.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, I'm going to try and get fit again. I'll do a little bit of running. And then once I am fit enough, I'll get a bike and I'll start racing bikes again. Turns out bike riding is really expensive. And when you're like 20, you know, buying a bike to race is a little bit much. I'm like, I can just buy a couple pairs of shoes or like one pair of shoes and a pair of running shorts and I can go running. And kind of like, funnily enough, this was at the start of COVID.
Okay, interesting.
So like then for 2 years, you know, there was no races on, there was not much on. And all I really did was just train. And like I said, I knew how to train. And even though it was all very unfamiliar to me, I was like, I can just do this and I'll get fit. And then by the time races started coming back on, I was like fit enough that, you know, my first race, I like managed to win somehow.
Nice.
And I'm like, oh, this is pretty nice, this whole winning thing. I might keep doing this. And then, now here we are. I'm in South Africa with Tarek. So
cool.
Yeah.
And did you start off trying like shorter races or did you jump kind of straight into this like marathon ultra distance?
Yeah. Well, my first few races were like 20Ks.
Okay.
But at the time, they were still so long for me. My first ever race that I did, it was 21Ks. I like blasted the first 13Ks, cooked myself, had to walk for 4K, still somehow managed to like run the last K and do okay. And I really wanted to go longer straight away because, you know, all the exciting races in this sport are longer. All the races I'd watch online are longer races. But kind of lucky enough, I met Blake Hose, who was my coach for years.
Cool.
And he was basically like, all right, you don't need to be an idiot. Like, if you want to actually be a good runner, you have to get fast first. You have to progress slowly through races and only move up distance when you're really ready and when you can actually kind of compete in those distances.
Okay.
And so that was kind of the best thing for my running because it meant that I was able to focus on getting all the things right first before I could then kind of build out and do bigger races and do longer races.
And learning to hurt on the short distance, I'm sure, helps you even just with the ultra mentality. Yeah,
it's definitely a skill.
And are you still with your coach who you mentioned now?
So I was with Blake until probably 3 to 4 months ago.
Okay.
Like I said, he was awesome for my development. I think I wouldn't be the athlete I am today if it wasn't for Blake. He was always like very cautious about stepping up intensity, stepping up volume. And I think, I mean, I haven't been injured like ever, you know, knock on wood. So I think, and that's 100% because of him. But after I got back from Europe earlier this year, maybe like 4 months ago, I was kind of searching around for a new coach. I think I just wanted to change.
Okay.
I'd spoken to a lot of people on Terex that have a lot of different coaches and was just putting the feelers out to be like, what is going to be the best kind of training system for me?
Yeah.
And after speaking to Ruth Croft, I ended up with Scott Johnson.
Oh, great. Nice.
And like, luckily I started working with him when I did because it was just before UTMB and, you know, they're like a lot busier than they previously were.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of stuff going on around them. So I'm really glad I found Scott when I did, and training with him has been amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah. Nice. And I mentioned it earlier, but you are also studying, and you were like, I run and I study and I still have a lot of time. I thought that that would be different. I thought you'd be like, I have a lot going on. How is physio going, and what does it look like with you traveling and racing and studying at the same time?
Yeah. The first few years of the degree were like kind of okay. You know, when there's like less, more general stuff. But now it's a little bit stressful at the moment. Basically, the system I've figured out is I like stay in Australia during the semester. I try and avoid travel as much as possible.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the semester's done, I come out to a race. The day before I flew out here, I had two exams.
Oh my gosh.
And the day before I flew out to Transvolcania, earlier in the year, it was the same. I had two exams. It's funny because like I'm not busy per se in the sense that like I'm working like a super busy 9 to 5 and there's always something happening.
Yeah.
But it's like I'm busy in the sense that I've got these exams coming up. I need to make sure I'm ready for them. But then I'm also training for this race that takes a fair bit of time and effort and thought.
Yeah.
I'm managing to make it work for the moment.
Okay.
There might be a couple points next year that will be like pretty stressful, I think, but I'm trying to like be as prepared for them as I can.
Okay.
I'm also super lucky. My university is like a big sports uni.
Okay.
So they're super understanding. And my course convener was also, she was an elite rower when she was studying.
Okay. So they understand the demands.
I'm very lucky like with how helpful they are. If I need things moved, if I need like a little bit of extra support, they're always there when I need them. And, you know, I think I wouldn't be able to do it if it wasn't for that.
And so is next year the final year?
Next year is the final year of classes. And then I've got like placement, which is, you know, full-time work.
Yeah.
Basically for 25 weeks, kind of spread across the year.
Okay.
That'll be pretty interesting. But, you know, we'll make it work. Yeah. I always seem to like make it work.
And what is the hope with physio? Is that something you're like, I see myself like practicing as a physio in the future?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
I'm sure your teammates are like, this is what we need. Yeah.
Well, I'm not kidding myself that like, you know, running is like, it's pretty hard to make it a full career. You have to be very, very good to do that. And I'm just super interested in like the way the body works and how that applies, especially in like the running context. So I really enjoy it and I get a lot out of it. I think it really helps my running. It's really funny being here, speaking to heaps of different people that have different injuries, and I'm always trying to like probe and figure out what's going on. I really enjoy doing it. And it's also nice at home. I'm not like 100% running. Like, you know, I do my training in the morning and then I can go to uni and kind of forget about the running and just focus on that, which is kind of nice.
And are you a kind of big on structure, big on routine to kind of fit everything in? Is your day pretty stacked? Chat to us a little bit about like what the day-to-day kind of looks like.
Yeah, I go pretty hermit mode when I'm at home. Especially like as soon as I get my uni like semester calendar, I'm like, I work out how my day is going to be. Like I said, I'm lucky I don't have to be at uni early. Like most of the days I can like properly get my training done, get my like food in. And that's like what's really important. I can kind of make uni fit around my running, which I think is very lucky. Like a lot of people have to have it the other way. But yeah, like when I get home and, you know, say like early next semester, I'll be home for 3 months training before I go out to Europe, and I would just like, fully go hermit mode, and I like kind of lock in. I do the same thing every week. I really love doing that.
Yeah.
because then when I come out here, things change a lot and it's very different. But it's
rewarding. I can imagine you, like, I've worked hard and now I can like race and do something different.
Yeah.
Switch that side of your brain off, maybe.
Yeah. And then also once I leave Australia, uni's done for me, like for this semester. So I don't have to think about it at all and I can just put it away and let that stress kind of go.
That's awesome. I'm excited to see how that all turns out. It'll be fun to have a physio on Team T-Rex. Yeah.
Yeah. It would be really cool if I could make it work with the team. We're super lucky we have a physio that travels with us a lot of the time, Sunny, and she's amazing.
Nice.
But yeah, if there was a way that I could make that work, I think that would be pretty amazing.
That'd be awesome.
Mm.
And I mean, we've chatted a little bit about it now, but you joined Team T-Rex in April.
Mm-hmm.
How has that been and how did things change? Because I think you were with ASICS before that. And so, what's changed since like joining the T-Rex team? How would you say things have been since April?
It's a literal dream, like being on T-Rex.
Yeah.
I'm like a massive fan of the sport and it had been, I think at the start of last year, I set myself like, I made like a 5-year plan. And at the end of the 5-year plan was like, get on a team like T-Rex. With hopefully it being T-Rex.
Yeah.
And so like to have that be happening now and it's really special.
That's cool.
There's so many things to it, like the amount of resources we have, the amount of support we have. I'm now able to like make decisions to be like yes, I can afford extra physio or this, training tool that's gonna help me that's like kind of expensive.
Yeah.
I can now like have the resources to get that and I kind of like made the decision if I'm going to like have this opportunity, I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to try and be as professional as I can.
Very cool.
With everything to try and, like I might only get one opportunity to do this and I'll make the most of it. And I also love, like being a nerd about all this kind of stuff. So yeah, it's pretty special.
I think it's been so fun to watch the like, trail running go from being an individual sport to very much a team sport. I was explaining to someone the other day, I was like, it feels like how in the Olympics, everybody has it like the countries pitch up. I was like, at something like UTCT, the different teams show up and it feels like that. It's like everyone's very much for each other and like helping one another. I get that vibe from the T-Rex team. I don't want to say the most, but it's strong. I think I was at the shoe launch on Wednesday and watching everybody joke around and like tease each other and like be friendly, but knowing a lot of you are going to toe the start line together is really interesting to see.
Yeah, I think it is. There is a big like aspect to the performances we have, I think, because of the team. If I was out here by myself, maybe I'd met a couple people and I'd have some people to run with, but you spend a lot of time like in your own box doing your own thing.
Yeah.
But coming out here, I mean, Robbie and Macy were out here for weeks and then some of the rest of the team started trickling in. And it really helps, talking to people about their training, talking to people about the race, having like a relaxed atmosphere where everyone can kind of get the most out of it. And if you want to be serious and squirrel yourself away, you can. But if you want to go like talk and shoot the shit with Robbie, like I can.
It's
awesome and it really does go a long way. And it means that like I got to the start line here totally relaxed.
Okay.
Any questions I'd had about the race, we have those, like that knowledge in the team now because the team's been coming out and it really does go a long way. And I really think it does actually kind of help my performance having the team around.
That's so cool. And little reunions almost like through the year. You mentioned now you're going to go to Europe next year. I'm sure it'll be nice to see the team again.
Yeah. And it's like having like a friend network throughout the world.
Yeah.
Which
that's
is like really special. There's so many places now, like I want to go visit Nora over in Norway. Like I want to go visit Macy in Germany. I want to go see Scotland where Robbie's from. Like,
so cool.
There's all these like places now that it's like opening my world up so much, which is really sick.
That's epic. And I think joined the team and then you guys have a training camp in Germany. Is it at the T-Rex like HQ?
Mm-hmm.
And I always see there's super like interesting content in terms of photos that come out and you guys spend a lot of time in the physiology lab. You mentioned you like nerding out about this kind of thing. Can you chat to us a little bit about what goes on in that lab? It looks like performance testing and then kind of product development, probably from the more technical side. What is your, what do you guys do? What does the day-to-day look like? Are you testing like shoes and gear? Are you allowed to say, is it secret?
Something I was really interested in was is the development of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted to be a part of that. And I kind of got super lucky that I managed to find my way into like working with the innovation team a little bit, which has been really cool and amazing to see like the process of how these shoes are developed and what's thought about. Being at the campus is amazing because you see all these things that are coming, like they're not coming next year. They're like organizing these things for like 4 years.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
The feedback we get to give, and it's really special. I think it's an amazing part, and the team camp is a great place to like for everyone to get together. You get to do a lot of this performance testing. It's just like a lot of stuff goes on. It's a big year of racing, and so it's nice. Usually at races, tensions are a little bit high because it's a race. But to have a team camp like that is awesome because everyone's like quite relaxed.
We've
got nothing to do except, go and test some shoes, go for a run, like go to the gym.
Yeah.
It's really great. You get to really spend a lot of time with people.
Nice. And the kind of performance testing, it looks like there's like a VO2 max element maybe, or like blood lactate that you guys are looking at, or even I think some of the stuff I've seen, I'm curious. I'm like, this feels like biomechanical markers you guys are looking at. And do you then take that kind of thing and you use it in training, or is it more like we're using this based on like we're trying to actually test products like shoes and then we're just putting you guys through this while?
Well, it's like a little bit of both.
Okay.
The brand wants to do the testing there with the shoes on because then they can take information out of that, but then we can also use that information in our own training. And, these kind of tests are almost useless if you just do them and then move on. But if you're doing them regularly, then that's when you get the real benefit from it because you can use them as like a time point, as like a here I am now versus, a year ago. There's lots you can do with the resources they have there in the lab.
Yeah.
Like they've got the Vicon system for biomechanical stuff.
Very cool.
Which you can like learn a lot from. Just classic standard physiological testing. It's really cool.
Has that changed like those results where you're like, oh wow, I can actually like make changes to my training program or even like running gait? I'm curious like if that was something that you were like, oh, I didn't know this about myself, let me see if I can make some tweaks.
One really cool thing I thought we were using with the Vicon bike biomechanics system was you can kind of test efficiency in different shoes, and so that's like one way they're developing new shoes. It's like what shoe is actually more efficient, and what shoe is more efficient at 10% climbing versus 20% versus downhill. Things like that I think are really great.
That's awesome. Very cool. I'm a huge fan of the kind of nerdy side of things. But I've watching you guys race at UTCT, this is like where I wanted to segue and jump into insane. Like the way I know that you were here and you were kind of acclimatizing for a few weeks. Did you expect the conditions that you got on the day wind-wise? And I'm like, did any of your training prep you for that? I'm not sure what you typically are used to training in.
Yeah, I mean, we have heat at home.
Okay.
But no, the wind was really something else. It kind of made like Southern Peak, the first climb.
Yeah.
It was like quite stressful because it's like, I'm not a great like climber or scrambler. And, some of those sections are full on climbing. And it was just like the wind was just made it stressful, and then I think the worst part was coming across Hout Bay Beach. We had the fattest headwind. I was running like 5:30 per K, but like working hard because I just could not believe how windy it was.
Yeah.
Sand was coming across. It's just chaos. But I mean, that's kind of like the sport, hey? It's like you have the elements and that's what happens in the mountains. And so you just kind of have to roll with it.
And you mentioned now, like, or earlier, chatting to someone like Robbie when you're all together here as a team. And I mean, he's obviously got amazing experience on this course. Did you have a sit down with him and ask him questions? Like, how did you prep for this race specifically?
Oh, I've been peppering Robbie with questions as soon as I got here.
Nice.
Luckily, yeah, he's such a great guy. He's got so many opinions on these things.
Yeah.
there's only, you can do a lot of prep away from here. You know, like I had really in-depthly mapped out the course and the elevations and kind of worked out how long certain climbs are going to take so I can kind of work out how to tackle them.
Yeah.
But it's not until you get here that you can really see the course. Like I said, I like to know what the course is going to be like and know as much as I can before I come here, before I can see it. Coming out here 3 weeks before was amazing because I got to see all parts of the course more than once. And by the end, I can now close my eyes and tell you what the Vlackenberg descent is going to be like and, like, you know, where that tree is you have to jump over, but it's a sharp right-hander, so you need to be, like, aware of it, or little things like that that really go a long way, where when you're on the course, you're not learning the course and working out what's going on. You know what's going on.
Yeah.
And you can then focus on all the other things. You can focus on descending smoothly, or you can know when to push a little bit of a climb because it's going to ease out a little bit.
Yeah.
So being able to spend real time on the course and do a lot of it at, you know, kind of race intensity, plus having people like Robbie and Macy who have spent so much time here.
Yeah.
It's been such a great resource. And I think it's a massive contributor of how my result ended up is because of all that.
Yeah. And in terms of, like, it was a deep field, I think, for both men and women. Were you prepared for that? How do you handle, like, if competition is stiff, do you respond well to that? Or does that feel like something that's stressful before you toe the start line?
No, I like to be pretty relaxed. I was a little bit nervous. The race was so stacked beforehand. And if you look at the results now, it doesn't quite, like, seem like that because a lot of people ended up dropping out or not starting. I had my goal of getting on the podium. Like, that was my big goal. And after seeing some of the people that had jumped in the last minute, like Peter Frano, I was kind of, like, a little bit, not stressed, but a little bit less confident in what I could, in whether I could make that actually happen.
Yeah.
But I think all you can really do is all you can do. And I had set myself up to not worry about the result and have, like, kind of a, like, a solution-based mindset, like a task-based mindset of, like, here are the tasks I need to do in the race, and if I can tick off these things and do these well, then I'll be able to get a good result. I am, like, you know, for better or worse, I'm, like, quite, like, confident in my ability and where what I can do. It's just, like, as long as I don't mess it up.
Yeah.
If I can, like, get things right, then I think I can have a good day. I just have to not mess it up. So what do I have to do to not mess it up? And, yeah, just focusing on those things I found kind of gave me the best chance to just, like, nail everything right and then the result would come at the end.
And two things I want to talk about is, one, like, pacing the race on the day, because I think having a plan going in, you knew the course quite well, like, knowing how to pace, but then also responding to, like, what other guys are doing, other guys and girls, to kind of be like, okay, I didn't plan to push here, but to stay in the mix, I need to. So things like that. How did that play out for you on Friday?
Well, I'd thought about that a lot. One, like, I'm a little bit obsessive about looking at, like, previous course results. So, like, I knew all of Robbie and Jesh's splits for the last few years on, like, all the climbs.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew, I had an idea of when I wanted to tackle certain climbs. And I also worked a bit with this physiologist in Canberra who works for some pro cycling teams, Dan Green. And we had a bit of, I guess, a pacing plan, but more of, like, an effort distribution plan is the way to put it. Is, like, where the effort should be put and when, and, like, what's up the limit of, like, how hard to go or.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of gave me a good idea of, if I can do these things, then I know I can have a good day. Like, I'm pretty confident I can get up the Vlackenberg in 32 minutes. And if I do that, I should be fresh enough to then do the Alphen Trail climb in, like, 35 minutes.
Yes.
And if I can do that, then I should be fresh enough to have a good last climb. And if all that goes well, then, like, hopefully I'll have a good result.
Yeah.
So having, like, all these, like, little toolkits, like, not a single one of them is going to be the be all and end all and give me the result, but having done all this work beforehand, it, like, really, I find, prepares you for the race and gives you the best opportunity and chance to have the best race you can.
I love that effort distribution. That's an interesting idea to me. And do you, if you're thinking about effort, are you looking at heart rate? Are you like relying on kind of your RPE? Are you, I mean, the new thing that I saw a lot of this past weekend was the core temp sensors that people were using. Are you using all of the above, none of the above?
I'd say all of the above.
Okay.
You know, like it's nice to have heart rate. Like you can use that as a kind of an upper limit, but you can't take it. Like it's not perfect. And RPE is really good, but sometimes, especially at the start of a race, things feel really easy when they're actually too hard. So it's like, that's quite the hard thing about these races. And this is still quite a long race for me. I've done lots of 4-hour races, but this was a 5.5-hour race. So like trying to find where that effort is, I found quite interesting. And for example, coming up the climb out of Hout Bay, I like dropped back from the group because I saw Robbie attack. Kane went with them, Johannes went with them, and I was just like, I don't need to be following this attack right now.
Yeah.
Because like I could, but I still have 2.5 climbs to go. Like I still have a lot of running. And I had done a lot of work to like be confident enough in myself to be like, I can let this go and then I can bring that back.
Okay.
That's like not a tool that I've had before. Like usually I've raced quite anxiously and tried to go really hard and follow every move at the start of the race.
Yeah.
Because I thought if I did that, then, you know, I would get the confidence from that. But I tried to get confidence from, in fact, letting these guys go is the move and I'm going to wind them back up.
Yeah. Were there like specific points in the race that stood out to you where you were like coming into aid stations and or making an overtake that you were like, oh, okay, this is now happening?
Yeah, well, to be honest, like there was just the four of us from the start. You have the little climb off the beach up towards Rocket Road.
Yeah.
And then from the climb, there was the four of us and I didn't really see anyone else.
Okay.
I mean, I expected to see a lot of other guys and then I expected them to come from behind, but a lot of them kind of DNF'd, which was a little bit of a shame. But there was just the four of us. I think the big thing that happened up the climb out of Hout Bay is, I let the group go and I told myself, you know, I might not catch Robbie, but if I run well here, I can catch Kane later and then I can catch Johannes. But turns out he's a freak. And like he ended up having a blinder. But yeah, I was kind of just like waiting to catch one of them. And I finally saw Kane kind of coming through to hell.
Okay.
I was hoping he'd run with me for a bit because I'd basically like kind of been with the group. I've been by myself for a long time.
Yeah.
But I think Kane was having a pretty tough moment through there. Yeah. He rallied in the end, which was awesome.
Yeah.
But I think that was kind of like I found myself in through to hell in third. And I was, that was where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And so I kind of just had to make sure I kept that and like didn't mess it up and didn't like drop in the end or pop and have a really slow section. So I just tried to make, be as conservative as I could and conservative, but as fast as I could, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
To get to the end kind of where I was, like I was happy there.
It's so interesting for me, like if you're like the four of you are together and the whole time you're expecting guys to come from behind, do you find yourself like looking over your shoulder often or you're like, I'm locked in, I'm confident in this and I'm just doing the best I can?
I was very much looking over my shoulder.
Okay.
Coming on the contour after Blockhouse, it's like I was waiting for Jesh or I was waiting for Peter Frano or Daniel Klaassen, like all these guys that I thought were coming from behind and like they're such... Like these guys are killers and if I knew if I was slowed down too much, they'd be there. And I couldn't see any of them behind me. So like that was nice, but I was still like kind of pushing as hard as I could to like keep them back. So yeah, it wasn't until, you know, with less than a K to go that I kind of knew that no one was going to catch me and knew that I was there. It's hard to hear splits from behind because you come into an aid station and they only know what happened an hour and a half ago at the last aid station.
Yes.
So I really had no clue what was happening.
It's crazy for me to think that it can still be anyone's race in the last K. I think UTCT is becoming famous for sprint finishes. And I was reading Dimitri's post about him and Jeff's sprint finish. And he said he was like, I relaxed too early, which is so crazy because he was only 1.3 Ks away from the finish when he relaxed. So interesting that you're still checking and like pushing but not knowing where anyone is. That's
I think it's a funny part of the sport at the moment. Like a lot of other sports, people always know what's happening in the race,
yeah,
but in trail running you don't really. Like you can only really get information at certain aid stations.
Yeah.
And even then you can't get that much information. So, you know, something in like that in Dimitri's case, if he had have known that 4K earlier, it might have been a different story.
Yeah.
But he didn't. So, yeah, I think that's pretty interesting, like, point is you never really know what's happening in the race, even though you're in
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And you need to run your own race but also respond then yeah. if someone's chasing you or making an overtake. Insane. And, Charlie, you are with Precision. Mm-hmm. Exciting. And you said something to me earlier that I can't get out of my mind, which is that you don't put drink mix in your bottles. You just drink water.
Yeah, water with like a little bit of salt in it.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. What? How did you land there? Because I feel like that's almost like anti what other people do unless people have stopped putting stuff in their bottles.
Yeah, I just find for me, drink mixes are just like there's no break from the sweetness if you have drink mix. Like if you have gels, you know, you have a super sweet gel.
Yeah.
And then for me, it's like I wash it down with some water and then yeah. I can drink pretty much normal water. Whereas if you have drink mix, it's like you're only having sweet for the whole time.
Okay.
I've like done quite a lot of work to be able to have like a lot of gels.
Yeah.
And the way I do it, I have like this little half-size soft flask that has 180 grams of carbs in it. And yeah. then that's just kind of like, all right, that's my carbs. I need to finish this before the next one.
Okay.
So yeah, that's just kind of how I roll at the moment.
Crazy, I love it. And how did you go about planning nutrition for this race? And I know you mentioned the heat you're used to, so taking kind of nutrition in the heat probably didn't bother you too much. Did the wind play any factor for you in like drying you out? Were you managing just with like hydration? I mean, everyone who came past us was soaking wet. I think every aid station they were doing all the kind of heat management strategies that they could. But yeah, how did things play out for you nutrition wise?
Yeah, it actually went really quite smoothly. At the start of the year, I just made a decision. I'm going to do 120 grams an hour, and that went well. Like through my races in the middle of the year, and I finished that. And then I'm like, well, if I can do that, then I can do more. So
insane.
I ended up having 140 grams an hour for the whole race, which was like a pretty ambitious target a few months ago,
yeah.
but I just started doing that in any run over an hour and a half. I'm just having 150 grams an hour.
Wow.
And like, I'm very lucky that I can do that because like nutrition is very expensive and the support we get from Precision is awesome
yeah.
to be able to do that because that's like an expensive thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd like mapped out like pretty tightly the nutrition I wanted to have before the race. Managed to do that quite well. All my carbs went extremely well. I got really thirsty in the second half of the race.
Okay.
And I drank a lot of water in the second half of the race. I think from Newlands to the finish is like maybe an hour 15 and I had 2 liters of water in that section.
Wow.
And that's maybe because I didn't drink quite enough at the start of the race. But for me, I got quite lucky. I didn't really have any nutrition issues the whole race. Everything went quite well.
Nice. And you're just doing the gels in the bottle pretty much. You're like, I'm going to send down this 180 grams of carbs in here.
Yep.
That's what I'm doing. No, nothing, no other food supplementing at this stage.
No, besides some caffeine.
Okay.
I did have some bicarb in the race.
Okay.
I had some before, like it's funny, my pre-race like breakfast
yeah.
is getting like bigger and bigger, you know, like for the race now I've got like having my toast, obviously my coffees
yeah.
and then it's like, I've got the bicarb, I've got my nitrates, I've got my Nomeo, like it all just adds up all these
yeah.
things that, you know, are like lactate buffers. They all essentially try to do the same thing from a
yes.
different mechanism. But yeah, I've started having in like longer races, I'll have some bicarb like halfway through or a little bit earlier through in hope to like kind of keep those, that mechanism working a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's just like some salt tablets, water, heaps of caffeine and carbs. Yeah.
Nice. And we know that your good race results recently are because of the change you've made to your bottles, which is not running with moldy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moldy bottles.
Turns out running with molds, maybe not the best thing to be doing that. So it's nice to have clean bottles. Yeah.
This is some of our pre-race chats. I was laughing so hard, like figuring out how to wash your bottles and not have mold in it. And
yeah, it turns out if you just wash them, they'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
You know? So, pretty easy fix.
And, Charlie, how do you, I mean, you made some changes with like joining the T-Rex team and now you mentioned that you were in, you did the training camp, you're in Germany. How are you going about like planning your training year. I mean, your racing year, your race calendar. So you've got school, which is obviously a big deal, and you need to probably be there to write your exams. But yeah, how did you go about setting up this year? And then I'm going to stop there because I have more questions for you.
Well, yeah. So basically I have two, like, 3 month blocks where I need to be in Australia.
Yeah.
And it works out quite well that I can finish my first semester, go to Europe. And so I basically find races that work for that kind of 3 month block there. This year it was my first year with the team, and I had no expectations. All my goals were to learn how to, like, work with the team, get better at racing and traveling, because it's something I'd struggled with before.
Okay.
Quite a few times I'd, like, done a big travel for a race, and then hadn't quite been able to get out, like, do what I could have done, you know, like, get my potential out, because the travel just kind of knocks you around a lot. And they were really the two things that I wanted to do. Transvolcania was, like, a big one that I did in the middle of the year. Then I went to America and did Broken Arrow. They're just two races that fitted. They went pretty well, like, not amazingly, but they went quite well. And then coming here, you know, I wanted a podium, but I didn't expect it. Like I said, I didn't expect to have any good results this year. But when I kind of worked out, before I came out here, I knew I was quite fit, and so I thought it might have been an option. But yeah, basically planning races around my semesters is how it works. And I'm already thinking about that for next year.
Okay.
Like, in between my winter break in Australia, what races can I go over and do in Europe? And then,
Okay. And do you have your sights set on, like, specific things that you'd like to do next year? And are you kind of, is this your comfortable spot right now? This, like, 50K marathon distance?
Yeah. No, I definitely want to start racing longer races.
Okay.
Transvolcania was my longest race in May. That was, like, a 7.5 hour, 75K race. I'm actually doing Tarawera 100K.
Okay, cool.
Which is in, like...
Is that Feb?
Yeah, yeah. It's, like, 10 weeks away, which is pretty scary. So I need to get home and get training. But I'm really excited about that. I think it's nice because it's 100K, but it's only going to be a 7.5 to 8 hour race.
Okay.
So it's not
super
long.
Runnable, yeah.
And then my races next year will be a mixture of... Maybe I'll do another longer race, but probably some of these more kind of 4 to 5 hour races, I think.
Okay. How do you think the training will change from approaching that 50K to the 100?
Yeah, I think between those two races, it won't change much. Well, actually, my training has changed a lot since I started working with Scott. So I think the block will look very different. I'm very interested to see how the training is different between, say, this race here and Tarawera.
Yeah.
Obviously, for this, I was doing a lot of super steep incline work.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, the classic weighted hikes up, like, rocky stairs.
Yeah.
Lots of as much technical as I could at home. But I'm quite excited to go back and just do some running, you know? Like,
yeah, that's nice.
Like, maybe 1,000 meters in, like, 35-odd K kind of thing, rather than trying to find 2,500 meters for a 30K run.
Okay.
It'll just be nice if we have lots of that kind of stuff around home where I can just do some rolling hills and running, and I think that's going to be really nice.
And training at home, are you on your training on your own? Do you have friends that you train with? What does the kind of trail community or trail culture look like?
We're super lucky in Canberra.
Nice.
Like, a lot of the kind of elite runners in Australia live in Canberra. We have great running around home, and then if we drive half an hour, 45 minutes, we have nice big mountains. I've got, like, a nice little group of guys that I like to train with. Unfortunately, they're both leaving me. One's moving to Turkey. One's moving to the desert. But I've got a few mates that I can do some running with.
Okay.
Yeah, we're really lucky with the amount of runners we have at home. So, yeah, that'd be nice.
And the sessions that you do have to kind of tickle for loan, are you still quite motivated? Training on your own, is that something that you're okay with?
Yeah, I think it's certainly okay. Couldn't run, but, like, if I had to run by myself all day every week for weeks on end, I think I'd go a little bit crazy. I like to chat, especially when I'm running.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff I have to do by myself.
Yeah.
But I always try and, like, you know, at least one of my weekend long runs, I usually try and tee up with my mates. Which is just awesome because, you know, you've got the drive out there, you've got the run. It's so nice. Usually hit a bakery on the way home.
Nice. So is that a big culture there as well, the coffee bakery thing?
Yeah. It's not so much as here. You guys really love the, like, post-run coffee.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big cycling thing. It's like you'd never go for a ride and not stop at a cafe.
Oh, really?
But running, we don't seem to do it as much. To the show.
Maybe you'll take that back
to
Australia.
I need to adopt
Southeaster that, kimchi in your hand luggage going back to Australia. And you mentioned our Broken Arrow was something that you did. How was that racing? I'm just curious, like the US race culture and even kind of that race has got like a very specific personality and even course. How was something like that compared to like a UTCT? I know the distances were different. Yeah. But
well, the altitude is a big thing there.
Yeah, huge.
After Transvolcania, I headed out to Boulder to do some training there for, I think, 5 weeks before that race. Previously, I'd done terribly any time a race had got above 2,000 meters.
Okay.
And, like, the whole Broken Arrow race was above 2,000 meters.
Yeah.
So I wanted to kind of, like, work out whether if I spent time at altitude, could I race at altitude?
Yeah.
In the end, 5 weeks was long enough that I definitely was able to run a lot better.
Okay.
At the end of that block than I was at the start up at altitude, but still not quite as well as I'd like. It's a whole thing.
Different ball game.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like all races. Like every race has its own little thing that is specific to that race, and therefore people around there can do best in that race.
Yeah.
You know, like South Africans are obviously so good on this course.
Yeah. The technicality.
The technicality, these kind of slow trails. Americans are really good high at altitude.
Yeah.
So I think, that's another benefit of like having the resources with Terex is like these races, I can kind of do the research and spend my time getting as well adapted to whatever course I'm racing on as well as possible.
Yeah, that's awesome. This is fascinating. It's been such an interesting chat. I think two things that I didn't really prep you for is one, Cowboy Hamilton. What is up with the Instagram handle?
Oh, who knows? That's just
was
been
this
my
you when you were yeah. I was probably your like Instagram.
I was probably 20 and
because there was a variation of names on the live stream that came for you this weekend.
Furious. Chuck Hammy is the worst name I've ever heard in my entire life, and I need to shut that down right now.
I know. I was like, let's redirect. But I was curious. I was like, are these nicknames that you've chosen, or was this just live stream error?
It's just what so happens. Funny. I think a lot of my friends were on that live stream having a bit too much fun trying to see what they can make happen.
Oh, that's classic. And last thing, Charlie, is what is something that you've read recently that has inspired you? I'm sure you've had lots of time to read in the last... No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
It's a busy time.
Not necessarily read, but something that I like inspires me a lot is... There's this YouTube channel called Still Spoke.
Okay.
It's run by this mountain biker called Chris Blevins, who he just won the mountain bike like cross country World Cup. He's a killer athlete, but he has these videos where kind of does like a lot of spoken word poetry.
Okay.
And the way he speaks about kind of like being an athlete and then also living a normal life and the travel, I really relate to, and I really. Every time I watch his videos, I feel so inspired to kind of try and get the most out of the life that I get to live right now. Plus his videos, like they look beautiful. They've got cool sketches on them. So yeah, that they like really, I watched a lot of those before the race and kind of in the lead up.
That's epic. Thank you for your time, Charlie. This is super interesting. And my next question would have been, where can we expect to see you next? But I guess that's Tarawera 100K, not too far from now. And that's, I'm sure, that's a short hop over the
three-hour travel.
Okay,
so much
easy.
Nicer than 24 hours of flying that I have to do every other time.
And will you have family crew you on that run?
Yeah. My mum and my sisters are going to come out, which is
that's awesome.
I'm coaching... One of my sisters up, she's going to run the 50K.
It's the first
50K. And then
Zara,
my younger sister, and my mum are going to crew me, which is awesome. Mum has been fighting for years to tell me to do shorter distances.
Okay.
She's like, why would you need to run longer? You're just going to hurt yourself. It's not going to be, you're not going to enjoy it, but it'll be really nice to have her out there.
That's awesome. Has she crewed you before? Is
that no, something? She hasn't. Okay. So, yeah. Over Christmas, we've got some crewing meetings
some
planned.
Some crewing meetings, family discussion. That's awesome. I think having a local race where it's like you have your people and then your family is just special to have on the calendar. But thank you for your time and chatting to me in the most beautiful setting ever. I mean, we're literally looking at all the mountains in Cape Town, but I really hope we can expect to see you back next year. It'll be fun to watch you take on this course again.
Yeah, I'm already planning my trip back. I love it here. Thanks for having me.